This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Last time we began a series of lessons on the topic, Christianity is the religion of biblical authority. And we set forth 4 basic and very crucial propositions having to do with the recognition that truth is objective, that is, it is absolute, it isn't changed by what people think about it, and that there is a definite body of truth which is from God, the Bible, the Word of God, and that since God does not lie, the Bible can be trusted. But now today I want to say a little more about the idea of an objective standard. First of all, let me raise the question, what is a standard? A standard is that which is set up and established by authority as the criterion or test or as a source. As pertains to matters which concerns the soul, it means the source of right or true answers to spiritual questions. Secondly, let's consider the need for an objective standard in ordinary affairs. If no objective standard were recognized, there would be chaos in ordinary affairs of daily human life. The amount of taxes one pays on his property, and so forth, would depend wholly upon some such matter as the fleeting whim of a tax collector. But as matters now stand, we do have objective standards to which tax collectors must refer in order to collect the proper amount of tax from a particular individual. In order to operate in an orderly way rather than a chaotic one, it is necessary that those who engage in athletic contests, football, basketball, baseball, and so on, have an agreement as to what will constitute ultimate authority. They recognize a rule book. It isn't the case that one side will hold to one rule book and another side will hold to another rule book. They couldn't actually play a game in any real meaningful sense of the word. They have to agree on the size of the field. They have to agree on the rules. Chaos would reign supreme if both players and officials did not have such objective standards. In the same way, an objective standard is absolutely crucial to properly answering questions which pertain to man's salvation from sin. Men do not need merely answers to religious questions. They need the right answers, the true answers. Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord, did not come into the world merely to make men religious or to give them the opportunity of being religious. Men had the opportunity to be religious and were religious long before Jesus Christ ever came into the world. But he came that men might have the opportunity of being right religiously. This is made clear in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, and verses 21 to 23, and Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Being right religiously involves a recognition of and submission to the proper standard, that is, the will of God, which is the Bible, of course, as we shall see. But before we consider the Bible, let's note some false standards by which men are misled. There are some things which are viewed as true standards which are not actually such. Let's consider some of them. First, some people use their own feelings as a standard. Some people answer such questions as, "Why are you convinced that you are saved, that you've been born again, that you're a child of God?" They answer by saying, "Because I feel it right here," while they point to their fleshly heart, that is, the heart in their chest which pumps their blood. The Bible makes clear that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. It is clear that it is possible to feel entirely satisfied about one's spiritual condition and yet be lost, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. And thus it is the case that feelings simply are not the true standard by which to judge one's life. Even though if a person is right with God, he will have good feelings about it, as certainly the man of Ethiopia did, as the record is given in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. And so, friends, today let me urge you to recognize that just because you feel good or you think you've had some religious experience does not necessarily constitute proof that you are a child of God. You become a child of God only in obedience to the gospel. Read carefully Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 27. Our time is gone for today. I'm glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be back tomorrow. And until then, may God bless and keep you is my prayer.